WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Bring jewel to show.
With your host, Tim Stein.
He's a sweet old man.
Heartbreak Mike.
This guy's a serious asshole.
The Omega.
He's a cyborg, you idiot.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
You recorded every word you said.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
I don't have time for this bullshit.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you.
WTR Sunday Night.
Thank you for your cooperation. Good night.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our post-pay-per-view coverage of WWE TLC Tables, Ladders, and Cheeks. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Surprised you didn't find one for all three letters.
I was trying. I got to Tukus. I got stuck on the L.
If anyone has an L word for your asshole, let us know.
I'm looking for assholes, anuses, cheeks, buttockses. I need derriere language. I'm sure we have plenty of opinions because this was an event.
It was an event.
It was an event. So, let's get underway. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, Heartbreak Mike.
Sorry, guys. I had to readjust my tights.
Oh, God. No, you too.
Absolutely.
Are you at least wearing underwear or something underneath?
Of course.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
I know a couple.
Yeah, we found that out. Unfortunately, we don't have a Tim here, so I believe it is just the two of us plus Sir Rockin.
Yeah, the producer is here to fill in for the Canadian who was too busy mocking the fact that he did not have a snowstorm yet. And, well, it had arrived and he has no internet. He came on the show last night, talked about how, yeah, it'll probably come Monday. Well, Sunday came, so did the snow.
Canada loses clean.
So much for your education of Canada, Tim. Next time. Anyway, we're here to talk about TLC, which happened on the WWE Network, and had six matches and a pre-show. Only six matches. I'm surprised they didn't add a seventh or eighth on the actual main show, but it turned out that's a good thing they didn't add it, because everything got timed tonight.
Yeah, I think timed out pretty well, all things considered.
Intern, corner, no cookies. Just saying. But yeah, everything timed out pretty well on this show. All things considered, everything got a good amount of time, and we'll break it all down. No one saw the pre-show, right?
Unfortunately, no.
So the good tag teams and Apollo Crews beat the heel tag teams and Kurt Hawkins.
I thought you were going to say the bad tag teams.
Right.
Mark and Alpha, Hyper, and Apollo Crews beat the Ascension Vaudevillains and Kurt Hawkins.
So yes, the bad tag teams.
Absolutely.
It was, you know, your typical 10-man match. But, you know, it had Kurt Hawkins in it.
Did he get any offense in?
Couple moves on Apollo Crews.
He's doing better.
Remember, he did beat Apollo Crews one time on SmackDown, and then hasn't been seen since.
Which one?
Both of them.
That is the correct answer.
They both disappeared from our television screens. Why? Because Crews should still be in NXT. Anyone disagree with that? Like, he would be such a great player on NXT right now. But Vince wanted him, so Vince got him on his main roster and doesn't use him.
Was not ready.
Now he doesn't even have main event to appear on. That's going to get him over.
Right.
He'd drop like 100 pounds and join the cruiserweights.
Stop.
They have that. His name is Neville.
And Cedric Alexander.
No, Cedric Alexander is an actual cruiserweight. Neville just doesn't.
Now he is.
Well, now he is, but I'm saying Neville's just never used. So, Neville for cruiserweights. Anyone? Can we have that thing? He'd be a perfect cruiserweight.
You know we're not going to get what we want. Well, I don't know.
We'll have to see about that one. Let's get into the main show. Heath Slater and Rhino. They have kids. and crackers.
At least one of them does.
One has kids. One has cheese and crackers. Taking on Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton for the WWE Tag Team titles. The one match that did not have a stipulation attached.
Can I just say, screw you, WWE, for teasing the Mercy Drive theme?
What? You didn't like the tease at the beginning?
No, I was sitting here, and as soon as I hear the riff, I was...
So, the gist of this match was the Wyatts worked over Slater, Rhino got hot tag, Luke Harper ate a gore, which Ronaldo called a spear, Wyatt was doing his spider walk thing to distract Rhino, RKO out of nowhere, and new tag team champions. Thoughts on the match, guys?
The first belt that Bray Wyatt has finally gotten in WWE.
And it's blue and silver.
Dicks.
No, you forget the best part.
What was that?
You get the best part. Luke actually took a hit for Orton.
I did say that. He ate the gore. Luke ate the gore for Orton. Yeah.
Okay. Miss that.
Yeah.
And it's funny because now you're seeing that they're starting to be a unit, and I'm just like, holy shit.
They're starting to be a unit, but there's a lot of tension in that unit.
Absolutely.
Because
there is. Like, Orton is still such a what if.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a good job at it. He's supposed to be doing that.
Subtle little things, like right after the match, you know, Luke has the belt. Randy just grabbed the belt from Luke because he was going to hand it to both, and Randy's like, "I came out belt, took it," and then Luke handed it to Bray. Bray handed it back to Luke, and then you see Orton going, "Should I give it to him? Should I not give it to him?" Bray's like, giving them the look, just give him the belt. It was that look. It's like, all right, I'll do what you want. But I like how they're doing it. I think they're doing a good job at it.
You know, it's strange to me because something in my head still sees this as kind of a step down for Orton, but that's only because of how poorly used the Wyatts have been.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, this is exactly how the Wyatts should be used.
Yeah.
Bray's a cult leader. He should be able to recruit. He should be able to pull people in. And the fact that he can pull in someone like Orton, who's traditionally a loose cannon to begin with, should be a big deal. And it is a big deal.
We all realize where it's headed. Someone turns on someone.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was certain it was tonight.
Well, that didn't happen.
No. I kind of found it out.
But it's, we know where the finish is. But for a guy like Randy Orton, who's done everything you can possibly think of in his career, for him doing this angle, he's just having fun with it. And you can tell he's enjoying where it's going. So it's like, this is a good use of Orton, this is a good use of Bray. You need to find them some competition. But right now, they're better as the tag champs than Rhino and Heath Slater, just because they're main eventers, Slater and Rhino aren't. Belts now mean something.
And also the question is now, are they going to do the Freebird rule?
No.
I don't see, here's the thing. I don't see that because Luke has been pretty much a non-factor. Like, he hasn't been in Xavier where they kind of switch out and Orton stays on the sidelines or anything like that. Like, in a traditional Wyatt family, yes.
Orton in law, no.
Orton in law.
But Luke is just their third. He's just there to, you know, distract. He's working as their manager, and it works.
He's there to go ooga booga booga. That's what it is. Like, lights go out, lights come back on.
But they have a chance to tell a good story. At some point, the turn will happen. Maybe it turns right before Mania, and bam, there's a WrestleMania match, Brian Horton.
Bingo.
If they think that long term. I would be okay with that.
But that's a big if.
It is a big if. Really is a big if. The match itself, it was just okay, right?
It was okay.
It looked good on paper.
It all looks good on paper. Well, most of the time. Sorry, I forgot one of the matches we still have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
No, but like, Heath Slater's been such a feel-good story, you know, just because, like, that was really well built to him winning that belt, getting his contract. Yeah. He's got kids to feed.
Well, now it's time for Rhino to finally be in office, so.
No, Rhino didn't get elected.
He's helping in office. He didn't get elected.
But now it becomes, you know, does Slater get to panic about his job again?
Yeah. You told me Slater was on a roll story. You got him his job, you got him his belt, right. He got his pool. Now they're gonna impound the pool, get the Repo Man, he'll take it away. That would be awesome, actually, bring back the Repo Man, take away Heath Slater's pool.
Yeah, we're taking back your pool, we're taking back your Cheese Whiz, and we're taking one of your kids.
Oh god, no.
So, if WWE, if you're listening, we wanna see this happen.
I do love the implication that WWE superstars make minimum wage, at least when they're starting out.
True. That is what they do imply. Ooh. So, we have new champs. We'll see where they go Tuesday night on SmackDown Live. The challenger and champion both, you know, bragged about how they're going to mess the other opponent up later in the show. And it brought us to Carmella versus Nikki Bella in a no DQ match.
Jesus Lord.
They tried.
No.
It was good on paper.
Good on paper.
It was good on paper.
Execution,
not
so much.
We do admit, they don't let the girls play with the toys as often, so no one in this match was experienced with swinging a kendo stick.
It was good on paper.
Execution.
That can't be the tagline tonight.
It was good on paper.
Something more than that.
Okay, we can go with assholes trending worldwide as the tagline for a night, but I think good on paper is better.
Yeah, good on paper.
I mean, you know, they tried, like, I thought they created the spot in the corner with the Tree of Woe and the kendo stick was alright. How Nikki broke the code of silence with the kendo stick was alright.
The poor kendo stick was selling more than all of them. That's how you know it's bad.
The fire extinguisher all over.
Nope.
Why?
It looks good on paper.
Stop it. I understand fire extinguisher spots when you're trying to blind an opponent by surprise. I don't understand, like, unless they are made of fire.
Straight fire!
You see, I was just thinking, if they used it against Becky Lynch, it was, like, really effective on her, that would be hilarious. But when you're just blasting her with CO2. You know, it's cold, but it's not debilitating.
Oh, JBL was trying to put over how debilitating it was. He tried.
It's not.
I know it's not, but he tried.
Like, half of that extinguisher was aimed at Carmella's crotch.
I mean, never mind. It looks good.
No, it does. No, you can't even
Wait,
say that.
Wait, you're right. I don't know. You're right. I can't say that. I don't know.
Okay, the finish of this match is you're going to freeze dry her cooch.
Like I said, it was so big cast can't get in me.
Where's that Shelly Martinez clip?
Somewhere retired where we never have to hear it again. But they tried.
Okay, this. You with the, they tried. You with the, looks good on paper.
Alright, you come up with something creative then.
Right.
I already did tables, ladders, and cheeks.
It looks good on paper.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Yeah, it does. You can have little tables, ladders, and CH, cheek, KS.
No!
Chatro goes, freeze drying her cooch. Probably killed the crabs.
Oh, God.
Insightful commentary by our
chat. Well.
The Maniac decided to throw that one in there. By the way, you can come to WildTalkRadio.com. Interact with us, and I'll read some of your comments on the air if they're funny.
Hell, this is funny.
Or relevant to our conversation. So, the Rack Attack 2.0 for the win, Nikki Bella.
I like this idea of them talking behind. Okay, look, I've got a gynecology appointment on Tuesday, but if you could just, like, blast me tonight, I don't have to go. I just saw someone get beaten by being frozen to death.
They find new ways to do finishes that look okay on paper? They're trying to be creative, Omega.
I know they're trying to be creative. We've seen fire extinguisher spots before. It's never been
the
thing.
But not in the crotch.
Not in the crotch. No, that was different.
Hey, on Raw, Sasha was hitting Charlotte in the you-know-what spot, so they had to step up their game?
Okay, let's be honest. Like ever since Mickie James trumped Trish, there's no topping those spots.
Never said topping, and just, you know, trying to play along. I don't know.
It was a weird finish.
A weird finish.
So what are they saying? Is it that if someone is on fire, you shouldn't use a fire extinguisher to help them out because it might give them frostbite?
That's not what I'm saying.
So
I'm not advocating setting people on fire, not putting them out.
So they should have used this against Kane a long time ago?
Yeah.
Bingo.
See, Taker, this is how you could have got rid of your brother a long, long time ago. Just saying.
Yeah, and imagine what a buzzkill that would be. Kane challenges you to an Inferno match, and you just start the match by walking around and putting out all the fire. You asshole!
So, yeah, anyway, Nikki won. After the match, Carmella says that, you know, she wasn't the one who attacked Nikki. Oh, no. It was Natty.
Bum-bum-bum-bum.
See if that comes true. We'll have an update on that later in the show.
Gee, I wonder if it's true or not. I wonder.
I wonder. Up next, Intercontinental title was on the line. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler for the last time for the title. Because who knows, they may fight again without the title.
Just the last time. Just the last time.
Please let it be the last time. Because I've seen enough of them fighting.
I like both of these guys, but god damn it, fight somebody else.
Fuck yeah.
They gave them time. The match was... It wasn't the greatest ladder match I've ever seen, but they tried some spots. They looked good on paper.
I can't get by these words.
No, it didn't.
You disagree?
No, this really did not look good on paper. Okay, Dolph and Miz for the 8,000th time.
No, I said some of the spots look good on paper, not the match.
We know what you're saying.
Then give me your take, Mike, on the match.
I really... Dolph Ziggler, I think Dolph was just like, you know what, I don't care anymore. I think that's his mentality. And it's like, I think he gave... Him and Miz gave it all on the, like, second. Or the one where he got four. He was like, your career's on the line, blah, 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 blah. And, wardrobe malfunction. And I just felt that it wasn't, you're going to keep him retaining, but then I realized, yeah, he has to stay champion because of fucking Total Divas. Fucking Bruce.
I don't think he's champion because of Total Divas. Just based on watching Total Divas, he's not champion because of Total Divas.
No. It just doesn't look good on paper. It didn't look good.
So we had a lot of drop kicks with ladders. We had the figure four with using the ladder. A lot of trying to injure the other person's leg. Like, Miz was hanging from the belt, and then Ziggler, like, pushed the ladder into his knee, and then Miz was selling his knee.
That was Ziggler.
At one time, Miz was smashing both of Dolph's legs like a mouse trap with the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, I kind of commend because we've seen, and we saw it in this match, where, you know, it's perfectly possible for someone to, you know, one leg hop up the ladder, still make it up to the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like the idea of, well, I'm already down there. Let's just break both of his knees.
Why not? Because, you know, it's a thing. Totally a thing. There's a slingshot powerbomb onto a ladder. And then they're both fighting. Miz gets knocked off. Miz hobbles back up. Double low blows to Ziggler's, trying to think of a creative word for his balls, but...
A creative word for his balls.
His Dolph's spirit squad? I don't know.
No. Oh, God.
His golf balls?
That's reaching.
I don't know. So, just his balls. Ziggler's balls. And down went Ziggler, Miz.
His show stealers.
Miz retains the Intercontinental title after two low blows.
such a weak finish. You're in a goddamn ladder match, and the best finish you can come up with is just kick him twice in the dick.
Yeah, WWE's number one rule, no bleeding.
Well.
Oh, he's going to get fined for that. Stop that.
Dolph's pom-poms.
Pom-poms.
Oh, Lord.
Thanks to the intern for that one. Mrs. Champ, it works. I know everyone's excited over Ziggler, but I don't know. We've been down this road many times. Like, it is what it is with him at this point.
We're just gonna see Miz keep winning, you know, dirty finish after dirty finish. Maurice interferes, the squad interferes whenever WWE feels like paying them anyway.
At least Maurice did not interfere.
That was the one benefit I had to this night, because this is the one match where she
could have.
She could have. She could have. No DQ. Wouldn't have happened.
It was all legal. His twig and berries.
No. That doesn't work. That's general term for anatomy. We're looking for a Ziggler-centric.
Nice try, maniac. Keep trying.
I'm still looking for L-asses.
Yes, we're still searching for that, if anyone has an idea. An L word for the ass. Another, someone can come up with one. I don't know. LeBanz asks, who against Miz now, though? Would they build up Apollo to chase? But they already did that. Miz beat Apollo at SummerSlam.
Yes, but he hasn't beaten him 8 times yet.
Starscream Josh. His Dana Brooks.
Jeez.
he hasn't beaten him 8 times yet. You look on down the roster, it's like there really aren't many people to fight.
It's not many people, period. It's, you know, when things like this just make it very clear just how thin the roster is and how few there is to work with right now.
Hey, good feud with Heath Slater. He needs. There you go. Miz versus Heath Slater. Heath Slater can win the Intercontinental title. He could.
Stop.
No, it could be a thing.
Stop it.
Why?
You stop it. Stop it.
All right, how about Rhino then?
Stop it.
What's wrong with Rhino?
Nothing's wrong with Rhino, honestly. I wouldn't give him the Miz. I wouldn't.
Then who would you give the Miz?
I would give the Miz... Ooh, those fucking SmackDown roster.
We just named it.
Yeah.
Give him Baron.
Who?
Corbin.
He'll know.
I don't know, because Corbin could... Corbin be changing...
Corbin's not... hasn't changed anything.
They're gonna, and next thing you know, he's gonna face the Miz, and then next thing you know, they're gonna cheer for him. I'm still a bad guy, blah, 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 blah.
Maybe they'll do Kalisto and the Miz, cause, you know, Kalisto lost, so he solely should get a title shot.
Well, strangely enough, they've kind of been building that. Like on Talking Smack and after the match, both, they were, like, really hyping up Kalisto, cause like, well, he lost, but man, he looked really good in that match. Like, he really proved himself tonight. No, he didn't, he lost.
In the worst way possible.
No. Kurt Hawkins managed that one. Okay, now I get to go through the SmackDown roster.
Who the hell's left?
Of who the fucks.
Ew, John Cena.
Kane. We do
stop.
Kane. Kane.
Stop it.
Hashtag Kane.
Stop it.
Kane never loses. Kane never loses.
Bullshit.
Think about it. Kane really never loses.
So think, SmackDown would actually have a decent mid-card, except they're all in really shitty tag teams.
Next.
Jack Swagger?
That's the only one that's not doing anything right now.
Yeah, because Rusev's on Raw. I'm sorry. Rusev versus Swagger would have had so much potential. With Seb Coulter beside him and Lana, Russia versus USA. That would have been the most amazing storyline on God's green earth. But they decided to shorten it because they wanted to do, undefeated, blah, 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 blah. Come on, just let John Cena. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be ranting. But yes, Jack Swagger.
Anyone else on that roster, Omega?
No.
That's sad.
There is no one else. You could have Ryder come for his WrestleMania revenge, but he's in a shitty tag team. You could repackage Breeze into somebody who could actually go, but he's in a shitty tag team.
Is there no one else?
There really isn't. It's Cruz. It's Apollo Cruz and that. It's Apollo Cruz or Jack Swagger.
They're
the only ones that Miz has. That's it.
The Maniac is petitioning Miz versus Mojo Rawley. We don't get hyped. We stay hyped.
There's no hype for that.
Can we get jobbed?
It's anti-hype.
You know it, bro.
I'm still bitter.
Yes, yes, you are. You'll never get over that.
No. Hold on to that grudge.
Man suggests maybe a person from NXT.
Who could you spare from NXT right now?
The annoying number?
Could.
But everyone wants him to show up in the Rumble at number 10. To do 10, 10, 10.
That would be brilliant.
Oh my god.
What, Mike?
We'll just, we'll see what the Royal Rumble has in store.
Right now the Royal Rumble has Brock and Goldberg.
What if that was a thing? What if Dillinger couldn't enter the Rumble unless he was at 10?
Yo.
I could picture him in backstage segments in a couple of years, just going through the locker room. Who drew 10? I need it.
If he enters at number 10 in the Rumble, I swear to Christ, I'll cut you off.
Well, that was the question. There's a Sir Joseph who's apparently getting a call up. He's from the Isle of Samoa.
We'll see.
He once got kidnapped for no reason, and it was never explained.
A lot of things happen on a lot of things happen down in Florida without being explained.
A lot of things happen in Osaka.
We've got we had James Storm show up on NXT despite committing murder on national television.
Oh.
All right, I gotta go check my Twitter because there's a response I have to read. Could you also interact with us on Twitter? Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. I'll read you. Responses there. If you don't want to come to the chat room, or here at WildTalkRadio.com, can it be Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder help him? Reunion of the Edgeheads, maybe? Would that be a better tag team?
Faction with Mojo is the Hype Heads.
No, I don't want that.
That's not a serious suggestion. Don't ever take that. Whoever from WWE keeps ripping us off, don't take that. Don't take that.
It's the one idea.
Keep doing your shitty Chuck Norris thing. That's so cool with the kids. Keep it up.
All right, then. So, on that note, Miz dedicated the win to Daniel Bryan. Hey, Daniel, we did it!
That's his feud!
He is.
That's his way of saying, nigga, we made it.
They were doing it again on Talking Smack. They were yelling back and forth and went off the air, as they do.
That's literally, what are they building to? Because they're never going to clear Bryan.
They're karate fighters. They're building to a karate fighters battle between the Miz and Daniel Bryan, because why not? Everyone remember the Karate Fighters?
Sadly.
Thank God I don't.
You don't.
Okay, Karate Fighters, you're talking about the toy line?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh God, how can you not know those?
Please don't bring it up to my memory. Please stop.
Okay, so you have an opponent, you both have handles.
Oh my God, please stop.
The handles, you have a little knob, you twist. And when you twist it, this little karate man on the end of the handle starts flailing around.
Well, there was one that was all red everything, and then there was a blue one. Anyway, we're going to go to break now. When we come back, we'll dive into the other half of tables, ladders, and chairs, and if you have an L word for the ass, let us know on the other side of this break. This is, I guess, WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you. In the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Woo! I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Which one of your favorite WTR personalities is truly king of the WTR ring? Find out when your favorite WTR personalities battle in the virtual realm. Subscribe now to youtube.com/recradioshow and check in at 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Mountain every Monday to find out who is truly the king of the WTR ring. Once again, subscribe now to youtube.com/recradioshow. Let the battle begin.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com. Listening on TuneIn Radio, just search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can listen wherever you are. Time to talk about the greatest match in the history of matches, the chairs match.
Not good on paper.
Baron Corbin versus Kalisto.
Fuck chair matches.
Just going to sit back and let Omega rant on the idea that it's a gimmick match?
I guess you call it a gimmick match because it's not your standard pinfall, submission, countouts, DQs, etc. It's a hardcore match where nobody is creative. It is a hardcore match where you're only allowed to use one thing. And to give you an idea of how boring that thing is, at one time Corbin said, "Fuck it, I'm building a table out of these things." I don't understand the idea of a blank match, whether it's chairs or stairs. Fuck that too. Where it's just, this object is legal to use. Go back and look at TLCs in the past and see how well they actually, you know, use that. Look at how many times they should have been disqualified for using other things during a chairs match or a table match, and it doesn't happen. See, in a table match, it makes sense because there's an object besides, you know, just laying your opponent out for a three count. For a chair match, it's just, well, yeah, just get him for a three count. Just hit him enough. Come up with a stipulation. Come up with, like, the whole point of those matches, what makes them interesting, is when you actually have some other way of winning. You know, when the object isn't just the weapon that's legal, it's, well, if it's a ladder match, you climb the ladder to get the title, get the briefcase, or whatever's hanging up there. Or, in the case of TNA, just go up there and wait for it to fall down. If you've got a table match, the object is to drive the opponent through the table. And that's a real simple thing. And it can add some really tense moments to a match. And that's really good. Now, I don't get the fucking point of a chair match. I don't. I don't. Like, this has credence if your big thing is a chair. But if you're just a wrestling guy that just happened to pick up a chair one day, you're in a chair match come December. That's just how it works. And it's fucking stupid.
Mike, what do you think of the match? Did they try?
I can't even say it looked good on paper. It didn't.
No!
It was literally a wrestling version of Tom and fucking Jerry.
He was chasing around with a chair at one point.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, yo, really? Speedy Gonzalez going on, no pun intended. Speedy Gonzalez going on, just running.
Racist.
Shut up. Just running for his life and everything else, and then a couple of chair spots. Ooh, drop toe hold to the chair, yay, you know. Few chair body slam sentons, and then the end of days to chairs. Dry.
Best spot of the match was Kalisto dove through the ropes and got caught in the deep six. That was a good spot.
It was.
Everything else was just there.
Well, I don't know, the finish was pretty good.
Finish was there, but it was a predictable finish. You could have seen that one coming a mile away. Oh, look, here's the pile of chairs. Someone's going through them.
I question whether or not Baron broke the no chair shots rule with that clothesline chair thing he did.
Right.
Because he was straight up holding a chair right into his head.
Yeah.
That's a chair shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
call a spade, whether you like it or not, it's a freaking chair shot.
So Baron Corbin won, by the way.
See, chair matches would have made sense back in the Attitude Era, where it's like, okay, first 1 to 10 wins. But nowadays, you can only either jab them in the stomach or crack them in the back with a chair. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough impact. There's not enough, you know, chairs just aren't versatile enough anymore for that.
Best way to do a chairs match? You have to knock your opponent out using the chair. Give him some, you know, can't get back up with a 10 count. I don't know. Something. Well, something to make it
useful. You can have the old pole style match where first one to get to the chair actually gets to legally use the chair. You could have a stipulation where, yeah, well, okay, well, whoever gets to 10 solid shots with this thing first wins, or, okay, you have 15 minutes, whoever gets the most hits wins. Shit like that.
Do something.
Yeah, it's something, anything. Give me like some reason to actually get into the match other than they're just hitting each other with the most common of pro wrestling weaponry.
So Baron Corbin's your winner. Backstage, Natty was wishing Becky good luck.
Oh my god.
Go ahead.
Something in my head says Crash Holly can make a chair match work. Because someone like Crash would not just hold himself to steel folding chairs. Mm-hmm. You know, there'd be a bar stool involved, a director's chair, there'd be a little kiddie seat.
Beanbag chair.
Like, that would be, like, any chair is legal, which is scary as shit, because up on the ramp, there's an electric chair.
Hopefully it's not the WCW version where the switch falls down first.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Poor Abdullah for having to sell that thing. Here, you have to die in the ring for a match.
You are the real MVP, sir.
So we're good with the chairs now?
No.
I meant, can I move on?
Oh, please. Please do.
All right, so now...
Match sucked, by the way.
Yeah, it did. Now he was backstage wishing Becky good luck, and she represents the division so well. I listened to the pre-show. She said the opposite. Consistency on the television program. Also said Carmella's lying. She had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Anyway, women's...
Yeah, believe that.
I totally, totally believe it. But now he's an awesome person. Go listen to her on the rack. RackRadioShow.com. Shameless. Moving on. Women's title tables match. Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss. I enjoyed this one.
I did too. It looked good on paper, and it looked good on this in the ring.
It was executed very well.
Out of our gimmick matches to this point, this is like the hardest hitting one, which is good.
They did a great job teasing going through the table.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be on the outside, the corner. I really love how Alexa trash talks. I thought this was a really good match.
Yeah, this was really well put together.
There was a dangerous spot where she did the DDT on the back of the table.
Yeah. Ooh, I hope that missed the bar.
I believe it did, but god damn, it looked like so close. I thought that this arm her with the table leg was creative.
That was good.
I got scared when they were laying the table on the bottom rope.
Yeah, because I was like, no, there's no way the table's going to break in that spot. The hell are you doing?
And props to Alexa for maneuvering these tables all night.
Yeah, poor tables are bigger than she is.
Exactly.
She had to get one up in a corner at one time, and she had to be underneath dragging it along.
Like, I was looking at her like, poor thing.
She did good, but there are parts where it looks like baby's first hardcore match.
Because it probably was.
It definitely was. You know, they never let the Divas do anything like this.
Not true. They did have a tail match at TLC. Table's pink.
God, fuck that. It used to be as like, okay, if women are in a stipulation like one match like once a year that doesn't involve their underwear or pillows, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And look at what we've gotten in the last few months. We get Hell in a Cell. We get Falls Count Anywhere. We get a proper table match.
I think we're getting a ladder match.
That would be good.
So, because I want to answer LeMann's question, let me put the finish out there. They're fighting on the apron, and Alexa falls off. Then gets underneath Becky, power bombs her through the table on the outside. Your winner, new champion, Alexa Bliss. The man's brought up, I thought she should have done her finisher through the table for the win. It would have looked impressive.
I beg to differ.
I should say this. Alexa Bliss is like 75 pounds. I don't think she could break the table.
I was wondering this question. Is she even heavy enough to break the table?
She is 75 pounds wet.
I've seen those tables hold up Dudleys. They're a little bit stronger than they look, but I thought the finish was really good because, mm-hmm. you know, it shows Alexa being very quick and like very intelligent. It's like, okay, Becky missed one spot, you know, and it looked like a legitimate miss that she was smart enough and quick enough to take advantage of to win the match. And it wasn't like, you remember when Cena lost the belt to Sheamus in a table match?
Uh-huh.
They're both up on the top, and it looks like Cena's going to superplex him through. And Sheamus doesn't manage to push him, like, get his arms out to make it look like he pushed Cena off. So Cena literally looks like he just throws himself through the table, because that's what he did. And that's just a really bitch way of winning a championship.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, you made a mistake, bitch. You're done. Bam. That was good.
And I thought Becky, after the match, sold it perfectly. She didn't want to be interviewed. She was upset with herself. She knew she made a mistake. I thought they told a great story. I thought the women were excellent in this one.
Yeah, like to this point, and you know, this is my favorite match of the night. I'm thrilled we're at this point.
That said, talking smack, she tried to be a heel.
It took her a while.
She got around to it, but god damn, she couldn't wipe that smile off her face.
Yeah.
And she couldn't.
Couldn't stop crying. Like,
that heifer was having the waterworks.
And you know what? Good on her.
It does.
Absolutely.
Her parents were there. First time I've seen her since she's been called up.
Yeah. And I thought that was a really good way to bring it in.
So it's like, great, great thing. She was able to be healed later, but it's like, talking smack is, it's not all about character. It's being about real. And it was real as it gets with her. And I hope they have the first reaction shot when they do the WWE.com exclusive for the YouTube channel. I would like to see one with her as well. So, I think Alexa's gonna be a good champion. I don't know how long it will last. Maybe the Rumble. Who knows? But, leaving her there as the champion, it works, because you have more baby faces than heels right now, so. Becky's always good for a chase, so.
Yes.
I thought that was executed very well.
Mm-hmm.
All together. Brings us to the main event. Tables, ladders, chairs.
Cheeks.
And even some stairs. AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose for the WWE title. They took some risk.
They did.
It was
asinine.
You're as bad as Tim's puns that he was trying to send.
My bad. I mean, look, I don't care if I'm the ass of every joke. The match looked good on paper.
Okay.
Now, hear me out. It looked good, but because of those two, the caliber of those two, I expected a little bit more.
AJ gets to pull off some of his hype lying that he's really good at.
Absolutely. But we all know that Dean Ambrose, when it comes to tables, ladders, and chairs and weapons, it's also his playground, too. That's why I said I expected more. Really good match, but I expected more.
We saw concerns in Dean Ambrose pulling the trash bag out of the trash can before using the trash can on AJ Styles.
Jesus.
I'm going to beat the shit out of him with this can. Well, no, let's get that out of there. It might be a tin can inside.
Revolution.
You gotta recycle.
Someone might have thrown away some glass.
Oh, God.
The spot, I don't even know how, what
he
got did.
I got two spots in my head that were just like the holy shit moments.
The four chairs. The flipping thing through the four chairs.
Absolutely.
I guess it's a flipping suplex through four chairs. I guess that's how we're gonna call it.
It's almost like a release suplex bomb.
Something like that. All I know is he flipped and he went crashing through four chairs.
Yeah, it was just brutal. Because that was all spin going straight into those chairs.
Then he got, like, sent into the table leg afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then we saw more of AJ Styles than we ever thought we would ever see.
Texas did well.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Well, I think nobody's going to see him. AJ's cheeks! AJ's cheeks! AJ! Really? AJ's butt cheeks! Clap, clap, clap. My God.
We knew AJ was an asshole, but...
And the hole got bigger and bigger.
It was like, please, stop doing the high-flying moves. Stop like, running so fast.
I can see it now. Hey, you know, your ass is showing. I don't care. They can see my backside all they want to. Let's keep doing this.
There was a spot he was leaned up against something on the outside, bent over, and you just, the camera tried not to zoom in, but you still saw him bent over, and there it was, full on.
You can see it now. Vince is like, yeah, I'm going back there. He's part of the Kiss My Ass Club. Bent over there.
Oh my God.
So.
Hey, props to AJ. He didn't miss a beat. He didn't give a shit.
No, and I'm gonna go try to find his tweet afterwards.
National pay-per-view with his butt showing to the whole world.
So. Dean Ambrose saw an announce table and went, I'm going to put him through it. How, though? I could jump off this one other announce table and put him through it. Oh, no. I'm going to put the ladder on top of the announce table first. Then put him through the table. Only Dean? Because that's what he did, diving up off the ladder from the announce table through the other announce table. Because, like, you know, why not? Dean was climbing, phenomenal forearm. Dean got laid out on the table on the outside, and we had the springboard 450 through the table.
Nice.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. So, Dean's down, AJ's in the ring, he's climbing, and out from the back, poor little broken James Ellsworth.
Broken James Ellsworth.
Broken.
He came down.
I knew he'd come.
Right.
He came down,
low-hanging fruit,
yes, yes it was.
Speaking of AJ's rip.
AJ takes him out, Dean, he was gonna do the Styles Clash off the steps again, Dean makes a save, Dirty Deeds on the steps. Alright, then the ladder's up, Dean's climbing, AJ's climbing, AJ gets knocked off, Dean's all alone, James Ellsworth shoves the ladder over, and Dean Ambrose goes crashing through tables on the outside. He's dead. AJ gets back in the ring. He's climbing. and AJ, and Ellsworth is cheering him on. AJ Styles retains, thanks to James Ellsworth.
Why? He's beating the utter shit out of me for weeks now.
Literally.
I'm going to help him win.
Well, he did explain it.
Oh, I know he explained it. And the thing is, I was talking to a friend of mine after this, and we were both trying to figure out, what the fuck was that all about? How the fuck does that make any sense? And I threw it out there as a joke. Got it right. Ellsworth thinks he's got AJ's number.
He believes it. He really, truly believes it.
No. You spent most of those matches unconscious.
But he believes it.
Yes, and so does Bo Dallas. Doesn't help him.
I said believes it, not believes. Difference.
Vowel. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Oh, AJ deleted his tweet. Damn it.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well,
he basically said that, you know, yes, he tore his tights tore, but he's still champion. Was the gist of it.
I think someone copy-pasted that tweet.
You think?
I think so. I thought I saw like a fake AJ account that had it posted too.
Okay. So anyway, AJ Styles is your winner. He is still your champion. Oh, really good main event. Really good women's title match. How would you guys grade this show?
Jeez.
It looked good on paper.
Oh God. They tried.
Yeah. You know we can literally say that now.
I can like. For me, I'm judging this on a curve because I had to sit through Suicide Squad for the first time today. So all this pay-per-view had to do to impress me was be better than the worst superhero movie I've ever seen, and I saw Howard the Duck. It tried.
What, Suicide Squad or the show?
Both.
Was it good on paper?
No, I'll be honest. Suicide Squad, no, they didn't try. There's no trying in that movie. It's fucking atrocious.
Was it at least good on paper?
No! No! No. Pay-per-view has two strong matches. There's a weird finish at the end of one of them, but that's not half of your pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing egregious, you know, and it's as much as it had to be. You know, we're talking about it was only six matches, but it still felt like it was paced well and everything got time, so it's not terrible, but I didn't see anything that outside of some of the stuff for the women and Dean and AJ, I didn't see anyone excel. I didn't see anyone just really trying to make a name for themselves or ramp things up for a pay-per-view. And part of it is I don't like the crowd just was not into this pay-per-view.
No.
Like, They chimed in for some big spots, but you didn't have any chanting going on. Nobody played to the crowd. It felt lifeless. I'm looking at a generous C minus right now because it's watchable. It's got good matches, but nothing, you know, but most of it just failed to elevate.
Usually when we have a TLC event, there's something that blows us away and nothing sort of blew us away tonight.
Mm-mm.
What about you, Mike?
I mean, I didn't, crowd went into it. It just a dead crowd. That's the only thing I can really think of right now. It's like it was a dead crowd. Better luck next time, guys. TLC. Like this is the first TLC, the brand split. Good try, guys. You know, you got your good holy shit moments, but we can do some improvement.
So there you go. Alright. Pick 'em. Magic 8 Ball went 1-5. Subway and Vincent went 2-4. WWE 2K17 in turn, not 16, 17, went 3-3 with Tim, Omega, and Starscream Josh. Tommy, Sheila, Rob, Matt, Heartbreak Mike, and Chris Pierce went 4-2. Mikel, the intern, and Ace went 5-1. Myself and Lindsay went 6-0.
Yeah, oh well.
Check out twitter.com/wildtalkradio tomorrow for the fantasy score updates, because someone had a big week.
Oh, what? That sucked hard.
I needed that victory.
You know, because one person got 61 points.
Jesus, fuck.
Just going to win again. Anyway, just saying. Check it out tomorrow. It'll be posted for everyone to see. Now it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
So Xavier Woods has announced, or his wife announced, that she's pregnant. So Xavier Woods is having a baby.
Yay.
Mike, what would you name the baby?
I would name the baby Aurora Creed.
Oh, Mega, what would you name the baby?
Francesca 3.
You know what? Fuck.
And Mike, what is your favorite oddball pairing tag team of all time?
Oddball? The Miz and MVP. I mean, no, Jesus. I'm sorry. Matt Hardy and MVP.
How'd you get the two of them confused?
Leave me alone.
Hey, it looked good on paper, okay?
Yeah.
He tried.
Mega, same question.
William Regal and Tajiri.
Gold.
They reunited in Osaka, Japan.
I know. It was loved all the clips when they came back for the Cruiserweight Classic. It was amazing.
And apparently Tajiri is starting back up for the Cruiserweight show. Beginning of the new year. So there you go. That was indeed quick hits, and that'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tomorrow, God, this is so efficient without the Canadian.
Yeah, and we only had 6 matches. That kind of helped.
Well, that too.
So, yeah, tomorrow night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything goes down on Monday Night Raw. Thursday night is another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. See how tired the producer is. 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Subscribe there. You can see 5 days of WWE 2K17 content, along with the king of the WTR ring. The first round matchup was Ace versus Omega. Next one coming up tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern will be Tim Stein versus Rob Parks. Check it out at YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 6 Episode 3 will be available maybe Wednesday. It's going to be recorded on Tuesday. Maybe available Wednesday, if not Thursday. And Episode 4 will probably be available on Thursday as well. Saturday Night Midnight Ish is another edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We will have the great holiday food debate. This time it is the main courses. Talk all about it. Go back and listen to last night's episode where we talked the holiday candy. We debuted our brand new segment called Say What? And the Canadian tried to educate us about Canada. So check it out, CBRadioLive.com, CBRadioLive on Facebook, Twitter, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, we'll be back for another edition of this very program, 10 p.m. Eastern. And we're previewing a pay-per-view.
No.
Roadblock. End of the line.
Wait, that's this weekend?
We're previewing it next weekend. So the pay-per-view would be 2 weeks from tonight.
Oh, God. No breaks.
At WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Omega, Vlog, stuff, comments, YouTube. I don't know. Go. It's a thing.
It's a thing now. So, yeah, if you want to follow everything I do over on the internet, if you're the Facebook type, it is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, though, you can pretty much find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter account, TJ Omega is also the YouTube channel where I post content all the freaking time, and December is a busy month because I am the toy dork, and everyone has toys on the mind come Christmas. And if you want to see a bunch of the exclusive stuff, it is over at TJOmega.org.
Toys R Us, so dangerous.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, plug some stuff.
Well, for those that want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at the WTR Oreo. You can hit me up on that Twitter. Also, anybody who's interested, I have a little project going on Facebook. So for those of you who have Facebook, go to facebook.com/udubz, the letter U, D-U-B-Z, 115. And you'll see what the project is.
Could you have made that URL any more harder to remember?
Okay, fine. Just search United Wrestling.
There you go. Just saying, you should come up with a more catchy...
Shut up, fool.
If you're going to promote things...
It looks good on paper.
You tried. At Flames Forums for Tim. He'll talk hockey with you. Anyway, he'll be back next Sunday. We'll be back next Sunday, and join us for all the programming all week long along the areas of the Wild Talk Radio Network right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.